The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and we are praying for the victims' families of the tragic, tragic Christian school shooting there in Nashville. And more reports are coming out about the identity of this individual who was a biological female, but was undergoing transition or had transitioned to calling herself a he, him. And in fact, reports this morning that the Trans Resistance Network released a statement that this individual was the real victim somehow in the Christian school shooting. So how do we break this down? What is the truth about how we need to deal with this as a community in politics and policy? Of course, the left has their response. And then there is a truth-based response. So we're going to break it all down with my good friend Robbie Starbuck, who is in Nashville and has been on the ground, has a lot of actually breaking news on this that you haven't heard yet in the media. So stay tuned right after this. Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." In Nigeria, there are 7 Christians being killed per day because of their faith in Jesus. Thousands are being driven from their homes on a regular basis. Some people like to talk about the problem, but there are those that do something to solve the problem. So I want to tell you about Equipping the Persecuted. This is a ministry that is actually helping persecuted Christians in Nigeria. Equipping the Persecuted is a boots-on-the-ground mission. They respond to terror attacks within 48 hours, bringing food, medicine, and relief materials. I can't believe all the amazing things Equipping the Persecuted is doing. They have an orphanage, support over 140 widows monthly, and they train and equip village security teams. I have genuinely never seen a mission like this. So I want to encourage all of you to support Equipping the Persecuted by donating $20 a month or more. Become a partner with Equipping the Persecuted to save lives. Visit equippingthepersecuted.org to donate today. Again, please visit equippingthepersecuted.org and become a partner in this amazing ministry. Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook. You need to start your retirement account even if you're in your 20s or 30s. There is always a great time to protect your retirement and invest, just like you want to protect your health over the long term. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903. Joining me now is my good friend, Robbie Starbuck, who is in Tennessee. He's the host of the Robbie Starbuck Show and also a former candidate for Congress from Tennessee District 5. And we all really wish that he had won that campaign and hope that you'll run again soon, Robbie. But first, I just want to get your reaction to this shooting. Of course, it was very close to home for you, and you have been tweeting out, I think, a lot of really good comments about this and about now the understanding from police that shows that this shooter actually went to a different location, saw that there was security there, and so actually moved locations. And I'm wondering, why don't we have in the massive state or federal budgets any sort of budget for security, an armed security at every school in America?
Jenna, you're absolutely hitting the nail on it. This is what I've been asking all day, is why are we not ensuring the safety of all kids in America? You know, we protect our politicians with armed guards, armed law enforcement on a regular basis. We do it for our court. We do it at banks. We do it all over the place. You even see it at jewelry stores. Our kids are more precious than all of those people, politicians included. And if they don't think it's important for kids to be protected, then I would then make the suggestion, why don't we say, okay, let's test that theory out. You all give up your security. Let's spread it out across schools and let's see who's safer during that time period, you without security or the schools with security. And I think we all know they would not do that because they know that the security matters. And like you said, this person, this deranged individual, she wanted to target a different place, but it had too good of security. And, you know, myself being a parent of three kids, you know, talking to a lot of parents in the area, all of us are asking the same question. Was she targeting our kids' school and just decided she couldn't do it because security was too good? Because for many of the schools here in Tennessee, we do have armed teachers. We do have armed security at the schools. This school was a soft target because they did not have that. And so, unfortunately, you know, it teaches us this lesson again that I think these types of shooters, they do avoid places where they feel like, okay, I'm not going to be able to get a high body count, something along those lines, because that's what these deranged people care about, because there's security there. So there's no question this needs to be a priority going forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had a radio listener write in this morning after my radio show and said, so in light of the school shooting, I did some research. They estimate it would cost $4 billion per year to have an armed guard at every school in the United States. We've allocated at least $75 billion to Ukraine. So that is close to 19 years worth of school guards. And so, of course, online it said, and reports have come out that the shooter was going to another school, but changed because of security on campus. Metal detectors or gun laws would not have stopped this. Armed security would have. Not sure why districts don't put this into place. There are parents that are ex-cops or military that would take turns to provide this for free. But, you know, the question then, of course, becomes if the leftists are claiming that gun control is the solution, which, of course, we know that that's just a pretext to try to take away the rights of every law-abiding individual. Why aren't states out of their education budget, which is a large percentage of their budget, or the federal budget that's allocating 19 years worth of security guards for every school across America, concerned about armed security? And that is actually a practical solution to protecting children.
You have a very astute listener there who wrote that up, because there's so many good points in there. Number one, just look at Ukraine. Okay, it's actually more than $75 billion we've committed to them. It's over $100 billion at this point. And so you're talking about even longer period of time you could be paying for this security for our kids. But beyond that, let's look at something like the Federal Department of Education, who does effectively nothing but make things difficult on the state level for providing the type of education that our state parents expect for their kids to have. So it's a constant push and tug and pull between our standards, our values, and the federal governments. That shouldn't be occurring. And this is a duplicate, which is something some people don't understand still, is we have our own departments of education within our states. We could do away with the Federal Department of Education tomorrow and use that money to roll into safety initiatives for schools that would go beyond that amount of money that is, you know, supposedly the cost it would take to go and provide security for all all these schools. So there's no question we have so many mechanisms to do this and cut bloat within the government to find the money to do this. And here's the other thing. If we can find money to send Ukraine, we can find money to send to Dr. Fauci's crazy projects. We can find money to fund studies where we just check and see what monkeys do while they're on cocaine. And yes, that is a real study that the federal government funded, was we gave cocaine to monkeys, just see what happens. If we can find money for that stuff, we can find money to protect our kids. And it should infuriate people that that is something that our politicians have just not done. And I'm tired of talking about guns every time. If these politicians really cared, they would sit down and say, okay, you know what? Very clear, we are not going to agree on the gun issue. Let's go through everything we can agree on and let's get it done and not use this as a political football, because that's effectively what is, you know, happening every time this goes on now, is they say, let's toss this back and forth and blame each other and use this for fundraising calls and get nothing done. There's very simple things you can do here that would make a huge difference. And the other part of this too is securing doors, getting the right types of windows to make sure that people can't gain entry. Because even yesterday in this shooting, the way they gained entry was reported incorrectly by the media. The media said that she entered a side door. That is incorrect. I was one of the first ones in contact with somebody in the investigation who told people this is not the case. They actually shot out a window slash door to gain entry. And police officers actually used that same entry, and one of the officers actually got cut by the glass in the doorway. So that's part of how I know this. And beyond that, you know, very early on, I knew there was something suspect with this case, because before the media had found out they were trans, I was given access to the 911 calls. And when I got access to those calls, I noticed a commonality. The calls were all referring to the person as he. Okay, so the media had said it was a woman. At that point, actually, they had said teen girl. And I said, that's very strange, because all these calls, including from inside the school, refer to the shooter as a male or use he when they're talking about them. And so they said male in camo, white. That was the description, you know, with no discrepancy. Nobody was saying female. And so at that point, I knew something's up here. And I remember I texted Sean Davis at the Federalist and a few other friends of ours. And I said, you know, I'm not going to put this out there because I don't have it hard, you know, evidence yet, but I have a feeling this is going to be a case of violence from a trans person. And I think that effectively, and again, we don't know this yet, but I feel like this is going to end up a situation where they say, you hurt our kids, we hurt yours. And it's effectively a new form of domestic terrorism where they say, hey, if you don't allow sex changes for little kids, we are going to go after your kids. And that's something that we need to find out, you know, from law enforcement in that manifesto, if that's the case. Because if it is, there's more action warranted to go and look into possible, you know, copycats.
Absolutely. And there was actually another story that was in Fox News that was just reported that I texted you moments before we started this show. And the headline is the Nashville shooter felt, quote, no other effective way to be seen, unquote, radical trans group says. And so, you know, we are seeing that this has coincided with this kind of Trans Visibility Week and, you know, some of these other posts that are genuinely hateful rhetoric that are against Christians, specifically against anyone who they perceive as being intolerant or bigoted against the trans ideology. And so how this particular instance may play into a larger paradigm of this new, as Brandon Strack, who's a friend of both of ours as well, has says, you know, this may be trans terrorism. And he's actually been suspended on Twitter for suggesting that, which is absolutely insane. Because Robbie, if we had anyone who was a straight white male Christian who was saying this type of thing and perpetuated this type of act, then immediately the mainstream media all over the news would be calling this domestic terrorism. They would be calling, you know, all kinds of names and completely painting the entire white race as white supremacists. They'd be painting Christians in a negative light. But we can't even ask factual-based questions about the trans community without being labeled bigots and apparently being censored online. This is insane.
It is insane. And you know what? I had to just get to the point where I don't care what they call me anymore. I don't care. And I think that's the healthiest thing for people is stop listening to the names they call you. I get called every name in the book, get death threats, get nasty letters on a regular basis from these people. Just don't care. Okay. These are not people that I'm looking to impress in my life. They're not people whose opinions that I particularly think about, because when people are mentally ill, they fight back against people who are trying to help them. That's something that we see all the time. And I think that's the consistent theme here that we've seen over this Trans Week of Visibility and even before. I mean, the thing people need to talk about and think about is this is a increasing level of radicalization that we're seeing within the trans community. Okay, it's not just Trans Week of Visibility. It's also we're coming up on what they're calling Trans Day of Vengeance. Okay, and the group that Fox is quoting there is one of the groups who's helping run Trans Day of Vengeance. Okay. And they're not canceling that. That's this week. They're not canceling that with everything that's been going on. And many of these, trans people, they're wearing shirts with a bunch of different guns saying trans rights or else. That's what it says. Okay. And I think we all know what or else means. Okay. You don't have to be a rocket scientist for that one. And so you see this in the narratives going on that are being painted and the media is helping perpetuate. You know, with the law we got done here in Tennessee, which for folks who don't know, we got two laws done. And me and my wife have been behind it from the very start. In fact, the very first proposal of these laws was my CPR Act, which proposed essentially a number of child protection bills. And we've got two of them done so far. One of them is a ban on children going to drag shows. The other one is that children cannot get sex change surgeries, hormones, or puberty blockers. So you've just got to be 18 years old, you've got to be an adult, and that's it. And the media and these trans activists have called this literally, not just once, but many, many, many times, a genocide, okay? They've called it a genocide on their people, and they say that we're killing trans people, literally killing them. And so if you perpetuate this idea and people believe it, you are going to radicalize people to behave the way that this crazed lady behaved yesterday, killing a bunch of people over it, because they truly believe this is the case, when in reality, we're just saying, hey, we need to hold up a minute here and make sure that kids are not being coerced or led into an area that is very dangerous, and that they get to be an adult with the ability to take in all the facts they've got at that time and make a decision on their own. Now, me personally, would I like to see it go even further? Yes, but we got done what I believe is within the confines of the Constitution and can be constitutionally defended at the Supreme Court. My personal morality aside, I think you know exactly where I stand on this. I think most people do. But in terms of constitutional law and the ability to get something done, this was something that felt like the very most you could really principally do to control what's going on here. Now, you know, I think people have got to be aware of this because, you know, we're entering a different time period where I think once this has begun, and it begun yesterday, we're going to see more and more of these copycats.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that, Robbie. And I think that it would be interesting to know a lot more about this particular individual. There is, according to police, a manifesto that was written by her and, saying, of course, with this whole Trans Visibility Week, well, people will know my name after I'm gone. This will be in the news, you know, something along those lines. And I would love to know, when did the so-called gender transition start? What types of hormones and medications were being given?
Something that has not been reported in the media yet. She was on testosterone.
Okay. So you think about this, if you shoot up a woman with testosterone, which, an average female who doesn't have male levels of this hormone, and then instill her with ideology that is rage filled and say, you're not visible, your people are being erased, and put all of the markers into them that will foment this type of rage, then should we really be surprised when they perpetuate these types of acts of violence, or even, you know, commit suicide, which is absolutely horrific. But then when they're taking innocent people with them, and because she was saying that she wanted to die, which is totally tragic. And yet we think that somehow, you know, this is just so-called gender affirming care. This is the opposite of care. This is not only perpetuating harm specifically against these individuals who are taking these hormones, who are being literally, you know, injected with all of these different drugs. They have surgeries that are mutilating their bodies. They have ideology that is driving them to commit these atrocities. But then, you know, you think about the society then that we are living in. And while a lot of people are suggesting that, you know, when you're an adult, you can have, you know, totally free choices. Well, you know, at the very least, we need to protect children, those under the age of 18, from any type of so-called gender-affirming care that they are not choosing. But, you know, as Michael Knowles, who is there in, you know, in Nashville as well with Daily Wire, and a lot of people are, oddly, a few people were suggesting that, you know, oh, this is a conservative town, and were somehow saying that Daily Wire should be targeted, which is insane. But Michael Knowles gave a recent speech at CPAC, and he was on the show. And for listeners who didn't see that, go back and listen to, you know, the Genocidal Maniac interview with Michael Knowles, because he rightly said, if transgenderism is true, then it's true for everyone. But if it's false, then it's also false for everyone. And so in terms of the of our ability to legislate around that, I agree with you that, you know, government can't foist its own opinions on people, and we can't coerce people into what to believe. But there are still some limitations to even adults' choices that will ultimately perpetuate harm on others. And I think we need some very serious studies about what this so-called gender-affirming care does to not only the bodies, but the mental health status of some of these people, like, you know, this person who knows how long she's been taking hormones, and who knows that type of effect. And I think we need some real practical answers, not just to say, you know, oh, sure, anybody can, you know, shoot up any sort of, you know, drug into their body that they want, when we don't know the practical effects and the consequences. I mean, this is why only libertarians would suggest, it's totally fine if adults choose to take crack cocaine or, you know, other really hard drugs, because they're adults, it's their body, it's their choice. Well, conservatism would say, no, we can't actually outlaw some of these drugs, and that's actually okay.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I'm at the point, too, where I'm not using their term of, you know, gender affirming care, because here's the truth. Gender affirming care would be affirming the gender the people were born as. This is conversion therapy, what they believe in. And I thought that was something Democrats said they didn't like, but apparently they do like conversion therapy, as long as you're converting them from their born sex into one that they can never truly be. And so in that respect, Michael Knowles was correct that, you know, this is either true for everyone or false for everyone. And that's just a blatant fact. It is false for everyone, because you cannot ever truly become that gender that you believe yourself to be. It's a delusion at that point, by definition. That's not a value judgment or anything else. That's just a definition, a basic fact about biology. And so if we can't agree on that premise and those facts, we have some very serious problems in front of us in America. Because part of Marxism, and I think this is something people sometimes miss, because a lot of people have just been blessed to have been born in America, and they never experienced Marxism and sort of the way that it has destroyed countries and civilizations in the past. And the truth is, you go from a very normal place to all of a sudden this radical group of people suddenly become very loud, and by virtue of being very loud, appear to be much larger of a group than they actually are. And this silent majority stays silent because they're starting to get fearful, whether it's job loss or the way that they might lose friends or whatever it is. And by, as a byproduct of that, these very loud people start to do crazy things to foment chaos. And that's what we're seeing play out within this trans movement, is, you know, chaos. This is chaos across the board. It's almost like Gotham sometimes, when you see, you know, these arrest photos that sometimes people like Andy Ngo post, where it's like Antifa people and trans activists, and they show them. It almost looks like how the Joker uses mentally ill people from Arkham Asylum as, you know, tools to go carry out his crazy plans. And that's honestly what it's starting to look like. This is looking like we're living in Gotham. And if we don't get control of it, and that requires Christians to do something very specific, we're going to be in big trouble. And here's that specific thing. Myself as a Christian, I've noticed two very dangerous trends in the Christian community. One is silence, and the other one is apathy. And the apathetic people are the ones who say, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. The silent people are the ones who feel that it's just too impolite, and they feel like politeness is akin to Christ-likeness. And that's not the case. Jesus offended a lot of people. You can never stop telling the truth out of fear that it may offend somebody. Jesus literally was crucified over how he offended the Romans and the Jews in that time period, you know, the people in charge. And as a byproduct of that, you know, we all know everything that happened, you know, after that. And the apostles themselves, same thing. They offended people across the board and suffered greatly for it. That's something that is actually the most Christ-like thing you can do is speak up, stand up, be bold, you know, be the type of person that has that uncomfortable conversation. It doesn't mean you need to be rude. It doesn't mean you need to go looking for an argument. It just means you need to speak up about these issues. You need to get engaged politically. You can't afford to be silent. Silence is what got us to this point where this sort of behavior is being accepted, and not only accepted, but then pushed on and encouraged among children. If you think that this is as far as we're going to go, you have not been paying attention. We went from a place where, you know, it started with, hey, everybody, just be tolerant of the existence of people, to, hey, we're going to teach this in blue states, to, hey, we're teaching this everywhere. And in blue states, parents can have their children taken away from them if they don't allow their child to get a sex change. We are going further and further by the year. And the establishment uniparty class of Republicans, who unfortunately have been in control of our party for a very long time, have been allowing it to happen by playing defense or silence, because they care more about business issues than they do about a culture that keeps America alive. If we lose our culture, we lose our country. And this is that moment where normal people have to be the line in the sand against these people being able to destroy our country entirely. And these are the types of issues that we must speak up on in order to have that our country that we love so much be saved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could not agree with you more, Robbie, that as Christians and then anyone who cares about the future of our country, we have to stand up and be bold and speak the truth, and the truth that there are only two genders. God made them male and female, and biology is a self-evident fact. It is not a choice. It is not a part of this whole queer theory that ultimately leads to despair and, in some instances like the Nashville shooting, in tragedy. Because what we do know only now of what this, the mentality of this young woman to say, you know, this was the only way that I could be visible. I mean, it is so incredibly sad what this ideology is perpetuating and how it's driving these people to feel that despair and feeling like their kind is being erased. All of these lies of not only Marxism and socialism and all of these other things in society, but then also the crisis of lack of true identity. And as Christians, we know that our identity is solely in Christ. And we understand that every human being is made in the image of God, has inherent dignity and worth, has unalienable rights, and that includes the right to life. And it also includes the right to speak up for that truth. We have to be concerned about the truth in biology, the truth in politics, which is the truth about how we live together in a community, the truth in every area of study, and that includes the truth about our humanity. And, you know, for years, I agree with you that the Christian community has acquiesced to the pressure of the culture to say, well, you know, let's be tolerant and love is love, and we will just sit back and be silent, and we'll maybe speak the truth within the four walls of our church. But we are seeing the ramifications of this that I agree with you are only going to get worse unless we say, no, it stops here and we have to roll this back and get back to accurate, correct definitions and truthful policy in and throughout our civil society. So Robbie Starbuck, really appreciate your comments today. And, you know, we're just praying for Nashville, praying for our country. And thank you so much for your service to this country as well in running for office and for everything that we're doing. So everyone can follow Robbie Starbuck. It's Starbuck singular, not Starbucks like the coffee. So you can always follow him on Twitter. Always have really good comments. Where can people find your show as well?
They can find it on Rumble, on, you know, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, pretty much all platforms, Spotify, wherever people listen to their podcasts. Search the Robbie Starbuck Show and you'll be able to get that. And thank you so much for having me on. And I would just, you know, tell everybody, please, if you have time, say a couple prayers for those families, because we're talking about, like, the best types of people. I mean, just I've heard nothing but the best things about the people and the sweet little babies who lost their lives. And it's just the community really has been just shaken to the core in the most intense way. And I don't know that anything has hit the community harder than this. I mean, this is really it's hurt a lot of people, a lot more than just the people who had their lives taken. I mean, this is really extended across the entire community. We're just heartbroken over it.
And we are praying for the community there and each of the families that lost loved ones in this tragedy, and for the family of the shooter as well. I mean, you know, nothing has really come out as far as the ties that she had. Apparently, according to reports, she'd went to this school actually when she was younger. So, you know, a lot more that is going to come out. And we're just so sorry for all of this. And, you know, the solutions, of course, have to be found centered in truth, not just in these political reactions of saying, you know, oh, gun control, or oh, you know, what, however else the left wants to politicize it. We always need to come back to truth. So thanks so much, Robbie. And definitely go and subscribe to his show on Rumble. Subscribe to this show as well. Rumble is where free speech lives. And we are very thankful to have a Rumble channel that doesn't get suspended as often as YouTube does. And we can talk about issues of Christianity, of truth in politics, truth in community, without being censored. So definitely hit that subscribe button. Even if you just stream audio, go and support us there on Rumble and the Salem Podcast Network. And you've been listening to The Jenna Ellis Show, and we will talk with you tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.